to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us today on Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse De Leon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Mario Alberto Aviles, the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Good morning, Jesse. I'm doing well.
We are very glad that you are here and offering your time with us. Let's go ahead and hear today's gospel, if you would proclaim that for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so, will be called last in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raqqa,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on their way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, not by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is a long gospel, but very rich. And, you know, Jesse, I'd like to take the opportunity that you know, to invite our listeners to, you know, always try to make time to read the gospel. It's good if they can tune in and listen and, you know, to me and to you and reflecting. But it's also good to allow the Lord to talk to us, you know. So the reading of the gospel, the reading of the scripture is very important, especially when you have a gospel that it's a little longer than normal. We need to let the word of the Lord, you know, talk to us and these gospels to settle in. So if you don't have the practice to read in the gospels in advance or even after, you know, Mass, it's a good practice, because you'll see that the Lord may have a different thing to tell you. You know, you hear to Father at Mass, and you listen to my message, my reflection, but the Lord always needs to have that opportunity to talk to you. And so that's why it's important to read the Word of the Lord.
Very true. Actually, you can find the Gospel for Every Day at usccb.org. They've got a tremendous archive and a calendar that allows you to find the Sunday readings. And like you're saying, Bishop, a lot of times you read it and the Word takes root, mm-hmm. and then you connect it to maybe something that you may be going through. And also seeing the Word and having an opportunity to go back and reflect on it puts it into motion, puts our faith into action, as it were.
Yes. And in today's Gospel, the Lord starts with a statement that is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. That's a very important statement from the Lord in order to understand the rest of the reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus very conscious from the very moment, you know, he was conscious that he was the Son of God. We know that. It's not something that came after that he realized that he was. No, he knew he was a son. We have to remember that time when he, you know, stays behind in the temple. You know, he was very young, and he told, you know, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, I need to take care of the things of my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a good example that he knew that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, the chosen one. So when he said, do not think that I have come to abolish, it's telling us, I am the Son of God, yes, I am the Messiah, but I am also here to do God's will. You know, and by this, I'm not coming to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I'm here to do what God wants and to make sure that the will of God is done. And, you know, being the only begotten Son of God, he can tell us, you know, what is this doing God's will. So this is, then he continues in this gospel to give us different examples,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he makes this first statement. So I'm going to kind of, this is what the Lord is trying to tell us here. I'm going to try to explain what, you know, this part of the law are about.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not trying to change anything. I'm not here to change anything. I'm just trying to make it easier for us to understand. That's the way I see this gospel.
Okay.
Kind of the Lord explaining us in a simple way, in a more with his heart and what God really wants, what these parts of the law, you know, represent.
Okay.
Without changing anything
mm-hmm.
from it. He was here to fulfill the law, to make sure that it was done. So we go to the first part, and I don't think we're going to have time to go to every single part, but we'll
right.
go to the most important part, and that is, you know, about you know, forgiving. You know, it talks about if you have something against your brother, you know, it's and you go to the temple, leave your offering there, go reconcile with your brother, and then come back. I think one of the most difficult things that we have as Catholics is that of forgiving. You know, we can do a lot of things. You know, we can go to Mass every Sunday, go to confession and all that. But when it comes to forgive, I think it's one of the most difficult things of being a Catholic.
This also seems to have an added dimension, a difficulty, because it's a proactive reconciliation. It's asking people to take the step, to take the path of forgiveness, which is even harder for some people to do.
Yeah, but it's not impossible because we don't do this with our own means or forces. You know, it's not that we're very good and now, you know, I'm going to forgive because I'm good.
Right.
No, we cannot do that because then is when it becomes difficult. When it said, you know, like when some people say in Spanish, you know, yo perdono pero no olvido. You know, I forgive but I don't forget.
Right.
No, that's not a way to do it because that's in a very human way. You know, I forgive but I will always remember what you did to me.
Right.
No, that's not the Christian way. And that cannot be fulfilled without the grace of God. You know, that's why it's so important to pray, you know, to have be in a state of grace, to go to communion. And because only, by doing those things is when I be able to really let it go and forgive. You know, that's why the Lord said, before you go and present your offering to the Lord, go and reconcile with your brother. So this is something that we really need to think about this, you know, this example that the Lord puts in today's in gospel, you know, that of forgiving. And remember, before trying to have a closer relationship to the Lord or our worshiping and all that, we have to fix those things, you know, and forgiven. And, you know, by the Lord mentioning this in today's gospel is because it's very important. And he knows that it's something difficult to do.
Definitely something that also sets the stage for the upcoming season of Lent. And that is something that we will discuss in a little bit more detail as Our Shepherd's View continues. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Mario Alberto Aviles, the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We thank you for your time this morning, Bishop, and we were discussing the Gospel of Matthew, a very long gospel today. So many different things to be reminded of. Of course, reconciliation, sometimes a difficult reconciliation, the act of being forgiving to others. We were discussing that before the break and how that ties into the upcoming season of Lent.
Yeah, the gospel today, you know, gives us different examples and the Lord explaining to us, you know, in simple words, you know, what this is about and what God wants from us.
Mm-hmm.
And in the gospel today, we hear this word Gehenna, which is translated into hell. And it's used several times, you know, throughout the gospel. If you don't do this, it's better to, you know, do this instead of going to Gehenna or being condemned. So in simple words, you know, we do all these things because we don't want to go to hell. That's basically what it is. And we all want to go to heaven. You know, I haven't known a person yet that says, I don't want to go to heaven. You know? We're trying to get there.
Right.
Even just a little bit, you know, just to make it there. That's why we're trying our best. But it's important. It's interesting why the Lord repeats several times this word. You know, you don't want to go. You don't want to be thrown into Gehenna.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is we don't like to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that is real, and we have to be aware that, you know, hell is real. The devil is real. You know, not to be afraid or extremely scared about it, because the grace of the Lord is more powerful than any power to people. But it also it's important to know that it's there. You know, the world that we live in, unfortunately, sometimes tries to convince us that those things are for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like angels. You know we will have time to talk about our guardian angel, but our guardian angel is not for kids. We all still have our guardian angel there taking care of us.
Right.
And so the present world is trying to convince us that there's not such thing as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no such thing as the evil. And guess who's very happy with that? You know, the bad guy. He's very happy that we don't believe. But the Lord insists in this gospel and calls, you know, several times, you don't want to go to Gehenna. You don't want to be thrown into Gehenna. Mm. So it's also good for us to know. Again, when I talk about the devil and hell, it's not for us to be extremely scared. Mm-hmm. You know, we have enough things to deal in life now to be worrying about this. But it's not to be afraid. It's for us to be conscious about this, you know, and to do our best, to do what is good, right, and just.
And that, of course, ties into what we mentioned earlier about the reconciliation. Also, the other thing that struck me about this gospel toward the very end when he says, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. So essentially being a person of integrity. And if you don't want to go along with something or you know that it's wrong, to say no to it and mean it and witness to your faith in that way, those are little moments that we can do that make a huge difference, especially when we're faced with so many things in the world, like you said, that come at us when we don't expect.
Yeah, we need to be, I think this is very actual, you know, this word. And that's what the gospel is. The word of the Lord speaks to us today. It's not a word from 2,000 some years ago. It's the Lord speaking to us now. Mm-hmm. And this, say yes when it's yes and no when it's no. You know, and that helps us to be authentic, to be truthful. And because, again, sometimes we can fall into the temptation of being in between. Mm-hmm. We don't want to say no. We don't want to say yes. We use a lot of maybe or possible.
Right.
And no, the Lord is very specific. And this is how we have to live our faith. We cannot be half merciful. We cannot be half forgiven. We have to be committed to what we believe and say, yes, I do believe in this. I do believe in the sanctity of life. I do believe in the sanctity of marriage. All of these things, we kind of say, well, yes, I do believe in the sanctity of life, but
right.
This is what the Lord talks about. Say yes when it's yes and no when it's no.
And it really does lead us directly into the season of Lent, which is coming up this coming Wednesday already.
Yeah,
it seems
already here.
To surprise a lot of people, Ash Wednesday will be on February 18th, this coming Wednesday. And as we head into that season, Bishop, how do you guide us into changing our mindset or looking ahead and making the most of that season for us as children of God?
Well, every year the church gives us this opportunity in the season of Lent to, in a more special way, to get ready, mm-hmm. To get ready for the big celebration of Easter, and the church again is very practical and gives us opportunities throughout this Lenten season, these 40 days, to prepare ourselves not only spiritually but even physically, through our fasting, mm-hmm. This coming Wednesday on Ash Wednesday is a day of fasting. We have to remember that. Let's mm-hmm. mark our calendar there. Let's put a note on the fridge that, of course, if we can do that, right? If you're sick or you are up in age and we don't want you to get sick mm-hmm. by not eating, mm-hmm. or we have to keep that in mind, because the Lord also wants us to take care of ourselves. But if we are healthy and we are at the age when we can, the fasting and the abstinence of meat, Wednesday is the first day. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was saying. It's not just a spiritual journey, but it's also to train us physically to be able to respond to the Lord. So this fasting, and the abstinence of meat that we are going to, do on Ash Wednesday, it helps us to teach ourselves that we have control of our lives. That we can do it, that we can forgive, that we can be nice and gentle and kind, physically. Just by me saying, I'm not going to, eat as I normally do. I'm going to remember not to eat, meat this day mm-hmm. or Fridays of Lent. It's also helping us to discipline. So the Lenten season, it's very rich, in teaching us and showing us, how can we do practical things? Mm-hmm. We have talked, some programs ago of practical things to live our faith. Mm-hmm. So the Lenten season helped us to do that. We normally look for things to give up for Lent. You know, so I invite you to think on this Sunday, you know, what are you giving up for Lent?
Mm-hmm.
But with true meaning, and not just giving up things for giving up things.
Right.
You know, it's not giving up things, you know, to help me lose weight, you know. It's not just giving up things, you know, for the sake of giving up things. It's things that are going to help me, to train me, to discipline me, to, you know, bring me into a state of spirituality, and that will put me closer to the Lord. So when we decide what are we giving up, let's keep that in mind. It's not just for the sake of doing it.
Right.
You know, oh, it's Lenten season. It's a time not to drink soda.
Or give up chocolate.
It's Lenten season. It's a time right. not to, you know, eat chocolate. Or, you know, Fridays is the time when I go, you know, I'm going to go have a delicious fish. You know, I know there's very good restaurants.
Lots of fish fries, fish right.
places here. Or the fish fry.
Right.
The famous fish fry. And so we have to take it beyond that,
mm-hmm.
you know. Beyond that, well, it's Friday. I'm not supposed to eat meat. Why? Because I need to train myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to teach myself that I have control in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way, I'm going to try not to get distracted by those signs mm-hmm. that show delicious hamburgers, or that invitation to a carne asada on a Friday.
Right.
Which it seems like there we have more invitations to carne asada on Fridays of Lent.
True.
And I can control myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can say no. The same way I can say no to sin mm-hmm. and temptation. We can do it. You know, and that's why we get trained during the Lenten season.
Such a great piece of advice, Bishop. And I think, too, we can recall something we said earlier in the program, too. It's also a good opportunity to go back to Scripture and maybe incorporate Scripture on Friday. Maybe instead of giving up something, you also gain the opportunity of reflecting on that day's Scripture or that Sunday's Gospel. Different opportunities to do that. And that only enriches the experience of going through the Lenten season and making it meaningful.
True. Yeah, that's what is important. Not just living it as something else we do.
Right.
You know, it's like going to Mass on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we schedule in our lives. It's something that we live, and it's something that we must really want to do. So same thing with our Lenten practices. It's not just something that it's a schedule to do. It's happening once a year. It's something that is going to help me to reach heaven, you know, to be holy and to change the world.
Thank you so much, Bishop. We appreciate your time, your insight, and everything that we shared on this program today. If you would now close with a prayer and a blessing.
Yes. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon our hearts so we can be true witnesses of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to help us to begin this Lenten season with a spirit of willingness to do what is good, right, and just, and to help our brothers and sisters. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.